all stand together this morning. Everybody help us sing this. While we're here this morning, is to give all the glory to Jesus and tell about his love today. We have a few written requests. We want to remember our pastor while he's away, that God will just be with him and strengthen him in his body and in his mind. And also, we want to remember Brother George this morning. He and Brother Ben are out ministering and want to be remembered in prayer, so let's remember them. Also, we want to continue to remember Sister Vicki and Brother Terry. Also, Brother Daniel Gissendaner and Brother Ron Spencer in our prayers this morning, that God's going to finish his work that he's began. Amen. And I'm sure there's many other needs. If you just make it known by an uplifted hand, God sees what our needs are this morning. He's mindful of us in the service today. Brother Jonathan, come this morning.
Amen. You happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Did you wake up in your right mind? So we have the ability to worship. And we do have a new family with us this morning. Brother Noah, Sister Naomi Moat. Be happy for them. Back from the honeymoon. Ready to start life together. Hey, look, it's been a while for me, but it's such an exciting time. We're so proud of you. So happy for you. So happy that we can be a part of that. And to see the love between you two grow and the love that you have for God. And we're just excited to have you here with us. And though you've always been here, now you're on your own family. So it's such a special thing. So thank y'all so much. And let's just go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again this morning, Lord, we rose out of our beds, Lord, with a yearning to come worship you, Lord. Lord, there's a desire, no matter how much these bodies felt pain, felt tiredness, there's something inside of us that, Lord, would drive us to come up, Lord, and come together and unite our faith together, Lord, and sing the songs of Zion, Lord, and lift our hands and worship you, Lord. And Lord, allow you to know that you are the love of our lives, Lord. And Lord, when everything's going wrong, we're focusing upon you, Lord. And Lord, we asked you tonight, Lord, this morning, Lord, that you would come down and speak to us in a mighty way, Lord. Would you touch each sickness, Lord, each request that was given, Lord. And Lord, we've seen miracles already, Lord, but we're not satisfied with just the beginning of the work, Lord. We're looking towards the end of the work, Lord. And Lord, you see our brothers, Lord, that are out ministering, Lord, and ministers around the land ministering to your bride, Lord. We asked you to anoint them in a special way this morning, Lord. Touch their lives, Lord. Touch their voice, Lord. Touch their soul, Lord. May they speak to you, Lord, and speak to your people, Lord. Touch our pastor and his family as they're away, Lord. Strengthen his body, Lord. Touch any ailment in his body that isn't just right on cue, Lord. And Lord, just raise him up in strength and in power, Lord. And we'll keep holding him in our prayers, Lord, knowing that a work is being done, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning, Lord. And Lord, you see us here, Lord. We've come to worship you now, Lord. And we've come to forget about the world. We've come to forget about our problems and our sicknesses, Lord. We've come to dedicate this time to you, Lord. And we ask you to move in the song service, Lord, and anoint the lips of Brother Mark and the hands of the musicians, Lord, that, Lord, they can be right on cue, Lord, and lift us to an atmosphere of worship, Lord. And Lord, touch our brother Canaan, Lord, as he would come, Lord, anoint his mind, anoint his soul, Lord, to speak exactly what we have need of, Lord. And Lord, we love you for this, Lord. We're going to praise you, Lord. Receive our praise this morning, Lord. Amen and amen. We love you, Lord. Amen. Man, you love him this morning. Amen. If you can have your seats just for a moment, and we'll take a moment, and we're going to do something just a little different this morning. I believe in recognizing our kids, and I believe this morning. You headed to have church this morning. Are you going to worship him this morning? You say you always ask that. Well, I always mean that, because I'm going to worship him. Amen, Brother Mark. God bless
you. I'm glad you asked it, Brother Jonathan. You just keep up the good work, buddy. Get everybody thinking about it anyway.
Amen.
Let's sing this together, kids. See. There's a light in the window, and the table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. Oh, and I can see the crystal river. Lord, I must be near forever. Oh, and sweet faces all familiar, and no one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, my lonesome heart is crying. I think I'll spread my wings for flying, Lord. Homesick this morning. I've never been this homesick before, and I don't believe it's going to be, but just a little while. Why don't we sing that this morning? A flat. A flat. Well, soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey. Home again with friends, and heaven's gates are standing open, just waiting for our entrance there. And some sweet day we're going over all the beauty there to share. Forever throughout all. thankful it's just a little while to stay here. And we're going to take our loved ones by the hands, Sister Shirley. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this. I believe it's E-flat. And soon I'll soar like an eagle. Of grace and faith. I'm just so thankful. This morning, I hadn't sang this song in a while. This morning, I ran across it and I just, oh, this is a beautiful song. Let's sing it together this morning. Key of D. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul. Silver, only you can say. we sing it with no music this morning. Let me hear you sing it today. For you alone, you are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire. Feel that way this morning. You alone are my strength and my shield, and to you alone does my spirit yield. Amen. We'll let you have your seats this morning. We'll have our ushers to come receive the morning offering you just give unto the Lord. I know he'll bless every effort today. Amen. I happened to look back and notice this morning Sister Ashley's not in her normal location today. She's out here, so that means that we can take advantage of that situation this morning and have her sing something for us. So if you'll be getting ready, Sister Ashley, I'd like for you to sing for us today. Also, we have a couple of birthdays. And is that today? I can't even keep up with my days. Is today the 19th? 18th. That means tomorrow. Mr. Brenda knows because it's her birthday. Amen. Let's do her with him this morning. And also, Brother Chris Hirschberger, I believe, is celebrating his birthday as well tomorrow. Let's give him a big hand. Very special happy birthday to both of you this morning. Amen. Sister Ashley, are you ready to sing for us this morning? We'll sing that chorus again. And I want you to sing it like you mean it this morning with all of your heart. You alone are my strength and my shield. Give thee.
Ready to go. Glory.
I was hoping she would sing that song. That's what I was hoping for. I worship you because of who you are. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. Amen. I appreciate that. Let's stand together this morning as we invite our brother Canaan to minister what the Lord has laid on his heart for us today. I'd like to have our brothers come back this morning. Receive the tithing for the service today. You give us, the Lord has blessed you this morning. Oh Lord, I want to love you more than I ever have before. 'Cause you're so Because he loved us first. Amen. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And I just thank God that Christ died to save sinners. Martin Luther once said, "When Satan tells me that I'm a sinner, he comforts me immeasurably, for Christ died for sinners." Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, look with me in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And I just want to love him more this morning. Amen. He's been good to me. He's been a lot better to me than I have to him. I know that. Amen. Just want to say it's an honor and a privilege to be with you again this morning. And been praying for your pastor, Brother Joseph, and the congregation here. We just love and appreciate y'all, and always enjoy being with you, and just going to try to do my best to mind the Lord and just try to share what he's laid on my heart here. Numbers chapter 13, we'll start in verse 30. Numbers 13, verse 30. "And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt.'" Let's approach the author of the word again this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have together, Lord, as a local assembly, a portion of your body, your bride here in Murfreesboro. I pray this morning, Jesus, that you would just have your way the remainder of this service, Father. I pray, Lord, that these would not just be printed words upon the page, but they would come off the page and become alive and manifested before the people this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just lead me with your Spirit, God. I pray you'd anoint all the ears of the hearers that we could hear and receive the word of the Lord this morning, Father. I pray that I would not come with enticing words of man's wisdom this morning, but I pray that you would anoint me to preach in the power and demonstration of your Spirit. Father, I pray that there's anyone in our gates this morning that be a stranger, that be lost, Father. I pray that there be the conviction of the Holy Spirit in this place, Father, to lead them to repentance and find the forgiveness of sins this morning. I pray you would sanctify the believers, Father. I pray you would baptize with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray that you would heal all the sick that we present before you this morning, Jesus. I pray that you would revive your saints, Father. I pray that you would restore the backslider unto yourself this morning, Father. Get glory out of this service. Have your way. We love you. We thank you for it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated this morning.
Amen.
So this morning, taking this text here,
We find that the children of Israel have been brought out of Egypt, out of slavery by Moses, and they've come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. They're right at the River Jordan, and on the other side of the River Jordan is the land that God had promised them. And we find that here that Moses sends out a band of spies to go out into that land and to search it out, to see what does the land look like. Does it have good fruits? What's the people? There's people dwelling in that land. We're going to have to kick them out. Do they live in houses? Do they live in tents? Are they strong people? What kind of people are they? He sends out spies. And they're right here, right there at the brink of the promised land in Kadesh Barnea. And we find that the spies bring back an evil report except for two, Joshua and Caleb. And we find that the congregation of Israel believed the evil report instead of the report of Joshua and Caleb. And we find then that before we can really understand about Moses and about the children of Israel being brought out of Egypt, we have to kind of understand why were they in Egypt in the first place. And we have to go back to a man named Abraham. And we have to look at the covenant and the promises that God made to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. And the scripture said that he to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not as to seeds as many, but to seed as one. And so we look back about in Genesis how God made the promise to Abraham and to his seed. And God told Abraham that his seed would sojourn in a strange land for 400 years that was not theirs. And that God would bring them out. Now, Brother Branham said in the third Exodus that they were in Egypt because of the jealousy of a brother. Talking about Joseph. And how that after the death of Joseph, that the children of Israel flourished there in Goshen and Egypt. And that they became a great and mighty people. They prospered for a long time. They became a people of many number. And finally, after the course of time, that there would finally raise up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. That knew not about the blessings of Joseph. And he looked at the children of Israel as being a threat to the Egyptians. They're outnumbering us. They're becoming stronger than us. They're going to overthrow us and take over our country. Let us put them under slavery, under cruel hardships, and keep them under submission so that they obey us and become our slaves. And here it is, we find ourselves in the end of the Laodicean age that once again we have a Pharaoh that knows not Joseph. That what's supposed to be the highest office in the land of the President of the United States, we once again have a king placed there that knows not Joseph, that does not know the blessings of Joseph. Though his name be Joseph, but yet he does not know Joseph. And in 1960, the first Catholic president became president of the United States. And Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, we have had one Catholic president. We will no doubt have another one. And 60 years later, from 1960 to 2020, once again, by a crooked election, they put the wrong man in office, but yet it is the will of God. It's once again a Pharaoh that knows not Joseph, that just like John F. Kennedy, he does not believe in freedom of religion. And so we find a Pharaoh that knows not Joseph, and they were put under cruel slavery and taskmasters becoming mud daubers and building bricks for Pharaoh, for his temples, for his pyramids and things like that, under cruel taskmasters. But finally, after time had expired, they'd been there for 400 years in Egypt, that God remembered his promise. God keeps his promises. God keeps his word. He remembered his promise he made to Abraham. He remembered his promise he made to Abraham's seed. And because of who they were, because of who their father was, he had to bring them out. The time had been enough. He heard their groanings. He said, I have heard the groanings and complaints of my people. I have come down to deliver them. And it was grace that sent them a prophet to be delivered. It was God's unmerited favor that sent them prophet Moses to deliver them and bring them out of Egypt. And when we think, well, if Moses didn't obey the call, that God would have raised someone else up to take his place. But Brother Branham said that no one could take Moses' place. And I just want to say this morning that no one can take your place in the economy of God. I just want to tell you this morning that if your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, it wasn't put there any particular day. It wasn't put there the day that you came to the altar or made a decision. Your name was not written there the day that you were baptized or joined the church or shook hands with the preacher.
But I want to tell you that if your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, it was put there before the foundation of the world. And that before the foundation of the world, we also find in Revelation there was a lamb that was slain yonder back there before the foundation of the world in the mind of God. And so what's that tell me, Brother Pat? That tells me that before Adam ever even fell in the garden, that there's already a sacrifice there, eternal in the thoughts of God. That before Adam even sinned, there was already a sacrifice yonder for him, waiting for fallen man to be redeemed. And whenever Adam's name was placed there, Jesus' name was placed there, your name was placed there in that book, there was already a sacrifice to be a propitiation for you and I to redeem those. And Christ came and was manifested in the flesh to redeem those whose names was already in that book. And if your name's in that book, amen, no one can take your place. Amen. There'll be no empty mansions there in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. There will be no empty mansions in glory. Whenever we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that table that stretches out for miles and miles long, there'll be no empty seats. We won't be able to look and say, well, look, that brother did well. He had a reservation. He got invited, but he backslid at the end and was lost. There ain't going to be no empty seats at that table of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Praise God. I thank Him for the night. And we find that no one could take Moses' place, and no one can take your place in the economy of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we find that Moses was born under peculiar times, strange times. And it was at the time that they grew so much in number that Pharaoh was concerned, and he says, kill all the firstborn of the Hebrews. And we find that Moses was born in that time of the slaughtering of infants. And it seems like every time that there's going to be a change in the dispensation, or right before God brings judgment, there's again a slaughtering of infants. We find the slaughtering of infants at the time that Jesus was born under Herod. We find the slaughtering of infants again in this last day, right before the rapture. Amen. And so we find then in Hebrews that by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now there's a tape that Brother Branham preached called Lifting Him Up Out of History. And I'd encourage you to listen to that tape. It's such an encouragement. But Brother Branham dramatizes there about Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed. And it seemed like that the Israelites had been in Egypt for so long that they grew cold. They grew tired. And it seemed like hardly no one was seeking God at that time except for two people, Amram and Jochebed. And it seemed like that maybe he dramatized it, that Amram would come home that night from working all day for Pharaoh, and he would sit there and his wife would patiently wash out the wounds on his back from the lashes, from the whip of the taskmaster that day, and how she just weeping there and washing out the wounds for her husband and saying, oh, Amram, isn't there something that could be done? And Amram might say, honey, if you would have seen how cruel those taskmasters were to those young boys today, how they beat them and they were working so hard, but they just treated them like animals and they were just heartless, just so cruel. And that's our young men of Israel. Isn't there something that could be done? Amen. And Brother Branham said, I wonder today when we see our teens of today with their pants hanging down and a pistol put in their side and a cigarette hanging out their mouth and bangs hanging down over their face and hair down their back. Just wondering, amen, these are our teens of today. They're the adults and leaders of tomorrow. It's still slavery under the devil. Isn't there something that could be done? And when I see the condition that the church is in, and I'm not even talking about the denominations, we're done past that. They died and they're buried in history. But even amongst the bride, how coldness has crept in, how worldliness has crept in. And we find out that now we've had generations that have been born not under denominationalism. They don't know what it was like to be under those cruel taskmasters and to be in bondage to Pharaoh and slavery in Egypt there. And we got generations now, second, third, fourth generations that have been born under this message. And they don't know what it was like back there in Egypt, what we suffered when we came out, Brother Pat. But my God, it seems like that we got young people that have never had an experience with the Lord. They've never, amen, knew what it was like, amen, to get a revelation for themselves from God, amen, to feel, amen, to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and have that token sealed under their soul, amen. And that we got so much coldness and formality and so much worldliness creeping in. And worldliness is the worst thing that could ever happen to the church. And right here at the end, when we should be so hungry and thirsting for the rapture, we're so close at the coming of the Lord. We should be so on fire and such a zeal and seeking the face of God. But yet we see so much coldness and yet we're so close. It's still slavery under the devil. Isn't there something that could be done? And Brother Aaron said, night after night, Amram would climb up a little staircase, and there he would call on the God of Abraham, because he believed in a historical God, that a God that visited Abraham, visited Job and Isaac and Jacob in their time of trouble, and that if God would move for them, surely God would move for them in that day. Amen. He was trying to call on the historical God. Night after night he would pray, no matter how tired he was, to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And maybe Joshua said, old Amram, you've been out here all night and in the morning praying. And why don't you talk to some of the young men at your work and let them pray for a while? And he'd say, honey, what if they don't do it? Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to pray through. And that's the way every Christian should be. You shouldn't be dependent just on the pastor to pray, or just on the preacher to pray for you, just on mom and dad. Let me tell you, you ain't going on our coattails. You ain't going in the rapture on your mom and dad's revelation. You got to get it for yourself. You got to pray and seek God for yourself. You must be born again for yourself. God has no grandchildren. He only has sons or daughters. Oh, somebody's got to pray through. Somebody's got to be persistent. I'm going to be the one to touch God. I'm going to be the one that prays through. I'm going to be the one, no matter how hard. Night after night, Amram would pray, and it seemed like he was just talking to the wind. And no answer, no answer, because God had not answered a prayer in 400 years. God had not sent a prophet, and they hadn't heard from the Lord in 400 years. But yet, night after night, Amram would pray. Amen. And that's what we need, it seems like, today. That Brother Bram said that if men and women today, if they don't get everything that they ask for the first time they pray, they start to think that God's dead. But what we need this morning is men and women of gallant spirit that will not take no for an answer, that will persevere, that will pray no matter how long it takes, that will shake, amen, and ring the prayer bells of heaven no matter how tired they get, no matter how long it seems for God to answer. If he don't do it this week, he'll do it next week. If it's not this year, it's going to be next year. We need men and women that will not take no for an answer. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. They were persistent. And finally, amen, after a course of time, amen, one night he's there praying like he did so many times before. And this time he got desperate. He said, God, you told Abraham we'd be here for 400 years. And according to the times, it's right about now. I don't know the exact day or the hour that you're coming, but I can tell by the signs of the time, it's just about over. Amen. I'm not the greatest at math, but I can add up the years. And it seems like it's been about 400 years, God. It's about time you come on the scene. And all of a sudden, Amram must have saw an angel there, standing in the corner, shining in his glory with a sword drawn, saying, God has heard your prayer, Amram. Deliverance is coming. You're going to bring forth a son. His name's going to be Moses, and he will be the deliverer that God's going to send. God has heard your prayer. And my friend, God still answers prayer today, doesn't he? We just need somebody that will lift him up out of history. There's a lot of churches that's meeting this morning, and they're talking about a God of history. They're talking about what God did 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. They're reading the Bible like a textbook. It's just a history book to them. But there's been a little group of people that it's not just a history book. It's something that's alive and manifested. We're serving a God that's real today. Our God is not dead. He did not stop moving 2,000 years ago. He did not stop moving 4,000 years ago. He did not stop moving in the 60s. He's still the same today. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just looking for somebody to call him up out of history. Hallelujah. By faith, Moses, Hebrews 11:24, by faith, Moses, When he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And my friends, let me tell you, young people, the world has a lot to offer people. The world's got a lot to offer young people nowadays, Sister Shirley. Hey, man, there's glitter and there's glamour out there in the world. There's so much tinsel and things to attract your eye and get your eyes off of Christ. There's so many pleasures in sin in the world. And I'm not going to lie to you, that sin's pleasurable to the flesh man. It feels good to the flesh man. But eventually that pleasure's going to run out. It's going to leave you high and dry. It's going to give you empty. And I want to tell you, young people, there ain't nothing better than what you got in this tabernacle this morning. There ain't nothing out there in the world for you. You might have fun for a while, but it's only for a season. That sin, don't you mess with it. Don't you flirt around with it. You stay in the house of God. You stay where the blessings are falling down. You stay where the preaching of the word is. My friend, sin, you mess around with it, it will take you further than you want to go. You think, well, I'll just do this. I'll just watch a little bit of this. I'll just put a little bit of this on. I'll just drink a little bit of this. I'll just try this a little bit. It won't hurt me. But you mess around with that thing, you mess around with that dog, is going to bite you. Amen. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And at the end, it's going to cost you more than you want to pay. Don't you enjoy the pleasures of sin? It's only for a season. Be like Moses. It was by faith that he forsook Egypt. By faith, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he endured as seeing him that is invisible. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, Brother Pat, that kind of struck me, because when I read about Moses in Exodus, when he fled Egypt, it seemed like he was a fearing of the king. Remember, he slaughtered the Egyptian, he buried him in the sand, and then there was two Hebrews that were striving with each other. He said, why are you fighting your brothers? They said, are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? He said, surely this thing is known. And he fled. To me, it seemed like he was afraid of the king. But the Bible don't say that. The New Testament don't believe it. And Hebrews don't remember that. The only thing it remembers is Moses' faith. Hallelujah. We might have a lot of faults and problems and hiccups and failures and ups and downs. Amen. But if you're a child of God, he only remembers your faith. Faith is the only thing that he sees. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What was it? He was right in the will of God. God had to get him out of Egypt and into that wilderness, tending to his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. And while he was out there being a shepherd, just enjoying life on the backside of the desert, he had to get away from that Egyptian theology. He had to get away from the pleasures of Egypt and the riches that he had. You see, he was a great man. He was trained as a military man. He had a great education. He had a college degree. He had great religious knowledge there in Egypt. He was next in line to be Pharaoh. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh, the prince of Egypt. He had to forsake it all and dwell out with a bunch of sheep. And you know what? As he was living out there, he started smelling like the sheep, brother. He started talking like the sheep. He was out there in the desert where God could get all that out of him. And let me tell you, my friend, when we came to the message, we had to forget, we had to forsake our Baptist theology, our Methodist theology, our Pentecostal theology. We had to leave it all behind so that God could teach us for himself. While Moses was out there tending to his father-in-law's sheep, something caught his attention. Something caused him to turn aside. He turned and looked, and there was a bush that was burning, but it wasn't consumed. And he thought, what kind of fire is this? That bush is on fire, but yet it ain't consumed. And he turned aside to see what it was. God's got something to get your attention. He's going to take you out in the desert, in a wilderness place, where God can speak to you, and he can take out the world out of you. Take your former doctrines out of you. My friend, I couldn't bring any of my charismatic or Pentecostal theology with me. He got me out there in a desert place where he had to take it out of me. Take my ideas out of me. Take my Trinitarian doctrine out of me. He had to take it all out of me so that he could speak to me himself through that pillar of fire, just like he spoke through Moses. That voice spoke out of that burning bush. Said, take off your shoes, Moses. For the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. Amen. Holy ground is anywhere where God's standing. Amen. I believe we're on holy ground this morning, Brother Jonathan. Amen. What kind of bush could burn but yet not be consumed? What kind of fire could do that? And let me ask you, if that bush wasn't being consumed, if the fuel wasn't being burned up, amen, where is that fire today? Amen. You can go out in the wilderness somewhere and you can find a pillar of salt that's Lot's wife. That pillar of salt's still there today somewhere. But where's that pillar of fire that was in that burning bush? Can you go out in the wilderness somewhere and find a bush that's still burning but not being consumed? That burning bush, it was burning by the pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire left that bush and it got into Moses and walked right out in Moses. Amen. Hallelujah. The pillar of fire coming in a man. God said, I have heard their cries, Moses. I have come down to deliver them. But I am sending you. God said, I'm coming down to deliver them, but I'm sending you, Moses. It was God coming down through a man. And so Brother Bram said, in faith is the substance, he said, was it God or Moses that delivered the people? It was God in Moses that delivered the people. See, they cried for the deliverer. And when God sent the deliverer to them, they failed to see it because it was by a man. But it wasn't a man. It was God in the man. And so Moses walks out. He marches from that wilderness right back there into Egypt. Now he's an old man, got a long beard. He's got an old staff in his hand. But whenever it was a one-man invasion. He didn't come back in there in Egypt with a big rolling stock, with a big army, with a big cavalry. He didn't come with great military weapons. He just came as an old man with a stick in his hand, but he was packing the pillar of fire in him, amen. He walked up right there, up into the court of Pharaoh with, thus saith the Lord. And that old rod he had, just a stick, it was just Moses' rod. It was Moses' staff, but when he handed that thing over to God, his staff became God's rod, amen. And I just want to ask you, what do you got this morning that you're willing for God to use? It may not seem like you got much. It may not seem like you can do much. Amen. Maybe you can only pray, but prayer is the greatest weapon that was ever put into the hands of man. If you can get down on your knees in your prayer closet, and let me tell you, even the devil start trembling when the weakest of Christians fall to their knees. Whatever you got, if you're willing to give over to God and let God use it, let God bless it, you will see the mighty acts of God moving in your life, for little is much when God is in it. Hallelujah. And so God speaks to Moses, and Moses came up with all kinds of excuses why he couldn't do what God called him to do. And you and I do the same thing. We make up a lot of excuses why we can't do what God's calling us to do. But just like Moses, none of our excuses are good enough. Your excuses ain't good enough to not do what God's called you to do. You'll have no excuses on the day of judgment. Moses said, well, God, you know, I got a speech impediment. I stutter. I can't talk well. God said, isn't Aaron your brother? I know Aaron can speak well. And God said, look, Moses, I have made you, Moses, to be a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. He said, Aaron shall be your prophet. Now, Aaron was called to set up the order of the Levitical priesthood. Aaron was called to be a priest. But God said, Aaron is going to be your prophet, and you're going to be a god to Pharaoh. So what was it? God said, if a man is a prophet, I, the Lord, will speak to him in visions. But not so with Moses. For with Moses, he's more than just a prophet. For with Moses, I speak from my lips to Moses' ear. And so what God was saying was, Aaron's going to be your prophet, Moses. I'm going to speak from my lips to Moses' ear. Moses is going to speak into Aaron's ear. And then Aaron is going to tell Pharaoh what God has said through Moses. And so that's how Aaron was a prophet. The Lord didn't speak directly to Aaron. The Lord never spoke to Aaron's ears. He spoke to Moses, and then Moses spoke to Aaron, and Aaron declared what God had spoken through Moses. Brother Branham said that a modern-day New Testament prophet is a preacher. That a prophet is a preacher. Now, Brother Jonathan Jones and I, being called preachers, we're not called in the office of a prophet like Moses was. We're not called in that office of the fivefold ministry. We're called as pastors, evangelists, and teachers, but we're not called in the office of a prophet. We may not even minister under the gifts of prophesying. That may not be a gift that we operate under, but how could we be a prophet being a modern-day New Testament preacher? We're a prophet just like Aaron is. That as we hear God speak to our prophet, that prophet speaks to us and we say what God has already spoken through our prophet. God has sent us in this last day a prophet just like Moses. And we ministers are the Aaron. We can only be a prophet as we say what God has already spoken through our prophet. That is the channel that God reveals himself in. He has no higher order to reveal himself than through his prophets. For the Bible said in the book of Amos, is that surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. Amen. The word of God comes to the prophet. The prophet tells us what God has spoken, and then we declare what God has spoken through that messenger. And no one that's in the true fivefold ministry, no one, let me say this, no one today is truly in the fivefold ministry unless they're only speaking what God has spoken through our prophet. If they're speaking anything contrary to what God has spoken through our prophet, they are not part of the true fivefold ministry. I don't care how holy they live. I don't care how many gifts they can manifest before the people. I don't care how great they worship. I don't even care how great the Spirit moves among them. If they're speaking contrary to what God has already revealed and spoken to us through the prophet messenger of our day, then they are not part of that fivefold ministry. We are only prophets as we speak what God has only spoken through the prophet messenger in our day. And the church age book, we find in the church age book that there are no private revelations. There is no collective revelations to a group. You say, well, this group believes this and they don't quite see it like we do, or they don't quite believe in this. And you know, one thing I'm reading out of the book of Hebrews. Who was the author, but the writer of Hebrews? The Apostle Paul. But the letter was written anonymous. So Bible scholars, they try to say that Paul did not write Hebrews. But Paul did write Hebrews. Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to tell them not to be Hebrews. So they say Paul, the first church age messenger, who was a prophet, they say he did not write a book, but he did write it. The seventh messenger was also a prophet, and they try to say he didn't write the church age book, but he did write the church age book, just like Paul. The Alpha has become Omega, the first and the seventh. Well, the first was a prophet, the seventh was a prophet. Both of them wrote a book that people say they didn't write the book, but they did write the book. The church age book is Brother Branham's book. Hallelujah. Amen. And the church age book, he said, those who hear, what the Spirit's saying, by the way, the messenger, those who hear are not getting their own private revelation. Nor is a group getting their collective revelation, but each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. He said Paul alone had the full revelation for his day. Paul alone had the full revelation for his day. And then he goes on to say, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Not all those who go out learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. And now, we got preachers in this message that think they got the right to correct a vindicated prophet. They think, well, he was a man, he made mistakes. And that, you know, this was his opinion or that, and they think they get the right to interpret what he said or tell what he meant. Let me tell you, we find out, according to the message, that the prophet is a divine interpreter of the word. And so if he is a divine interpreter of the word, what business would I have to try to interpret a word that's already been interpreted? I'm not supposed to tell you what he meant. I'm just supposed to tell you what he said. He said, you say what I say on the tapes. You say what I say, and I'll be responsible for it on that day. It's not my job to interpret what he said. I'm just supposed to tell you what he said. And yet we got men that will go on YouTube that claim to be believers in this message, say that they love the message, say they're not against it, and yet they'll try to explain away a doctrine in the message. They'll try to explain away something they don't agree with. And they say, well, that was Brother Branham's opinion. Well, let me tell you, brother, I'd rather take Brother Branham's opinion over my own opinion, and I'd certainly rather take his opinion over your opinion any day. Neither me nor Jonathan Jones nor any other brother in this message has a picture with a pillar of fire above our heads. I ain't got a picture like that. I can't say, Brother Pat, that all through my ministry there's been an angel of the Lord at the right side of me that was there through my whole ministry. I don't have that kind of vindication like he did. And yet they think they got the right to correct that man. No one can correct that man but him himself. Amen. And then they try to say, that was Brother Branham's opinion. My friend, it just so happened that things that was Brother Branham's opinion also happened to be the opinion of Almighty God. So I'd rather take his opinion than your opinion. I wasn't given two signs as Moses was to get the people to believe me. I do not have the vindication in my ministry that he had of his. And let me tell you, my ministry won't be worth 2 cents and it won't be worth nothing if I don't say what he said. Amen. These people go in there and think they got the right to correct Brother Branham. My friend, I just don't see it. I don't believe it. Amen. God has sent us a prophet like in a Moses. And people say, well, you got to get the people to Christ. You got to get the people to Christ. And they say, hey, we got to bring the Bible back. There's preachers in the message. They say, we got to get back to the Bible. We got to get back to the Bible. As if Brother Branham was out of the Bible. This was a scriptural prophet. This is a scriptural ministry. This is a scriptural message. He was not out of the Word. They say, we got to take Brother Branham back to the Bible. We got to prove the message by the Bible. Let me tell you, they speak as a fool, amen. My friend, I was raised in denominationalism. We had the Bible. We had the truth of the Bible. But we did not have the revelation of the Bible until I heard this message. My friend, we believed in a God. We claimed to believe in Him. We worshipped Him. We even saw miracles and signs in our meetings. But when it came to the revelation of the Word, we did not line up to it. We had false doctrine in our church. We had things that came right out of the Nicaea Rome that we were continuing to believe that came out of that whore Babylon in Revelation 17. So let me tell you, my friend, I grew up in religion. I grew up in denominationalism. But I did not know Christ until I knew the Christ of this message. You cannot separate the message from the messenger. When John was on Patmos and the angel told him, go up and take the book out of the hand of the angel and say, give me that book. He walks up to the angel with that open book, the seals hanging off it. He said, give me that book. That angel said, take and eat it. Amen. And Brother Branham said that when he took the scroll and ate it, that the prophet and the word became one. You cannot separate the message from the messenger. And let me tell you, this message introduced me to Jesus Christ. It lifted him up out of the pages of history. It proved Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. I did not know who Jesus Christ was until I knew the Jesus Christ of this message. This message introduced me to Jesus Christ. And so that's why I'm staying with it, brother. Amen. Live, die, sink, or swim, come hell or high water, I'm hanging with it. If it's going down, I'm going down with it. Amen. But I'm there to tell you, it's not going down. It's the only thing that's going up. Amen. In the time of Noah, amen, there was a lot of boats in Noah's day. Amen. They had vessels that they could float in the creeks and in the rivers and the oceans. They had ships back in the days of Noah, but every one of them sank except the ark, because there's only one boat that was God constructed. In the days of Noah, every other boat that was made by man sank. Amen. I'm here to tell you, I'm staying with this message because it's the only one that's going up into glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My Lord. And so it's necessary to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Hallelujah. We find then that when the plagues were coming out on Egypt, and he was going saying, the contest with Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh would harden his heart, hit Pharaoh. Then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And God said, Pharaoh, for this purpose have I raised you up. I have raised you up that I might show my power through you. God is sovereign. We serve a sovereign God. Amen. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And whom I will hardeneth. Amen. Hallelujah. A sovereign God. Amen. And so finally God hardens Pharaoh's heart and those plagues are falling out on Egypt. But when those plagues were falling out, they didn't touch the house of the Israelites. Amen. They had a little place called Goshen that when the locusts fell and it ate up all the crops, they still had food in Goshen. When darkness covered the land, there was darkness so bad over Egypt that you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. It was so dark. But there was light in their dwellings. They had light in Goshen. Amen. I'm here to tell you, there's a famine in the land today. As the prophet said, it would come to pass in the last days that there would be a famine, not for bread or water, but for hearing the word of God. My friend, the Bible said in Laodicea that she was poor, rich, and miserable, blind, naked, and don't know it. And how could that be when there's a Bible in every home and a Bible in every courtroom? How could that be when there's a church over every corner? How could there be a famine for the word of God? There's a famine in the land today for of hearing the pure word of God. But we got spiritual food in due season. He laid up in the tabernacle a 7-course meal, spiritual food for due season. In such a time as this, there's a famine in the land, but we got plenty of food on the table. Oh, there's darkness all around us in Laodicea, but we got light in our dwellings. Amen. He's prepared us a little Goshen here in this word to get us from here to glory. Amen. They crossed through the Red Sea. Hebrews 11:28 said, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do so, were drowned. And so then they come through the Red Sea. They come up to a place called Kadesh Barnea, where we took our opening text. And they sent over that band of spies. And those spies brought back an evil report, except for Caleb and Joshua. Amen. Only Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses. He said, let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it. Why? Because he knew that God spoke to Abraham and said, I have given you this land. He knew that it was already spoken through a prophet that God had given that land to them. And so it didn't matter how big the giants were. It didn't matter how tall the walls were. It didn't matter what they had to go through, what they had to fight through. I'm here to tell you, there ain't no wall too high that God can't tear down. There ain't no giant too big that God won't take them down. It don't matter what you have to go through. God already said, I've given you the land. Amen. You're more than able to overcome it. No matter how hard it seems, God's already seen you on the other side. God's just waiting for you to worship and to celebrate in the victory that God has given you. You are more than able to overcome it, for God has already given you this land. He stilled the people before Moses. And that's what we need believers to do today, to steal. Now, Caleb wasn't going to be the predecessor of Moses. He wasn't going to be the leader after Moses. Joshua was. But Caleb was a true believer. He stilled the people before Moses. We need people that will steal the people before our prophet. That will steal them and say, just listen to this tape. Just listen to what this voice says. Listen to the voice on this tape. Steal the people before Moses. You say, you sure do talk a lot about tapes, Brother Canaan. You sure do talk about a man a lot. I'm here to tell you, I'm not talking about amen. I'm not talking about the man. I'm talking about the God in the man. I'm talking about the God that spoke through that vessel. Amen. He said in the anointed ones, the end time, that I was not the one that appeared that day on that Ohio River. I was just near when he spoke. He said, I'm not the one that knows these things and tells these things as perfectly as are. I'm just one that's near when he does it. It wasn't what I knew. It was just what I surrendered myself to. He said, you're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. You're not feeding on a man. He said, you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. I'm going to tell you, my friend, he wasn't the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. You say, all you can talk about is that man. Well, let me tell you, whenever Paul told Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. Now, Paul was writing the New Testament. Paul was writing the New Testament. The only scriptures they had was the Old Testament. So Paul was writing the New Testament. They were putting the scriptures together. And he told them, you take my letter and you read it to the other churches also. But he did not say, you stand there and you only read my letter. No one else preach or teach or say anything else. He said, you read my letter, but Timothy, preach the word. Timothy, preach the word. And don't you know that Timothy was called a man follower? When Timothy went around preaching And they said, all you can talk about is Paul. Paul was the messenger. And Timothy only said what Paul said. They said, Timothy, you're a man follower. You just talk about Paul. Paul said. But guess what? You think it stopped Timothy? It did not stop him one bit. That little Greek Christian, he went around preaching anyway. He kept preaching and saying, Paul said, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Paul said, but though we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel unto you than that which he ever preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Amen. What? You take too much self on yourself, Paul. You think God only spoke to you, Paul? Timothy went right on to preaching anyway, saying what Paul said. Hallelujah. That's what we need today. Hallelujah, Jesus. So there we find in the third Exodus, 400 years they would journey down there in Egypt and be brought out. But they actually stayed 440 years because of the rejection of the prophet. They were supposed to be there for 40 years, 400 years. But they stayed an extra 40 years. Because of what happened at Kadesh Barnea. Because they rejected the word of the prophet. You see, what happened was from Egypt where they left to the promised land where they were at the crossing of Jordan, that was only about a week's journey. It was only about 40 or 50 miles. When they left Egypt, they were only 40 or 50 miles to the promised land. It would have took them only 1 week. But instead, they wandered around in a circle for 40 years because they rejected the prophet. For 40 years, they would wander until all of that old generation, everyone that came out of Egypt, would die. And a young generation that was born in the wilderness would go in and take the land. All of that old generation died off except for two, Joshua and Caleb, because they brought back the good report. They were the only ones that came out of Egypt that actually made it all the way to the promised land. They were 2 million strong. Israel was 2 million strong when they left Egypt. But out of 2 million, only two made it into the promised land. That's one in a million. So you mean to tell me that the true believers in the last day will only be one in a million? We can find them by this type. That very few people will actually believe all the way into receiving the Holy Ghost. My friend, you are not born again until you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. You don't have a right to call yourself Christian until God has proven that he's accepted your faith and given you the token. And the token for the Christian today is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is by the Holy Ghost that you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Grieve not the Spirit whereby you are sealed in the day of your redemption. It is by that Holy Ghost baptism that you are baptized and sealed into Christ. And no man has the right to call himself Christian without that token. No man has a right to pray to God without that token being present with his prayer. Amen. I want to tell you, my friend, except ye have the Spirit of Christ, the Bible says, ye are none of his. 400 years they were in there, but they stayed 440 years because they rejected the prophet. And they heard that evil report and they wept that night because they heard about the giants. And they were so discouraged and disheartened and full of unbelief. And they decided they wanted to raise up their own captain. They wanted to raise up their own captain that would take them back to Egypt. They would rather go back into slavery than to be out there with that prophet. They would rather have died in bondage than to be the liberated, free children of God. And my friend, I want to ask you this morning, which captain are you following? That's what I want to ask you and preach about this morning. Which captain are you following? Nehemiah said that they refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Even still, after they rejected the prophet, God did not forsake them. They wandered around in 40 years. 40 years they wandered, but yet they had manna that came down from heaven. They complained about the manna. God sent them quail. They had water that came out of a rock. Clothes grew on their back. Shoes grew on their feet while they wandered that through that wilderness until all of that generation died off. And Jesus said that your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they are everyone dead. Brother Branham said that meant they were lost. When they died in the wilderness, they were lost. They were eternally separated from God. Amen. Dead. And they wandered around that desert for 40 years. And they said, while they're wandering, they said, we're ready to raise up a captain. We want to go back to Egypt. They raised up the captain named Korah, who was a Levite, the same family of Aaron, a Levite. They take Korah, and they make him a captain. And Korah gets 250 princes of Israel, famous men, popular men, men of well-renowned, good moral people. And he takes them and says, Moses, Aaron, you take too much on yourself. You're not the only one that God spoke to, Moses. The whole congregation is holy. God speaks to all of us. I don't have to listen to you. God can speak to me too. That's what they said to Moses. You take too much on yourself. We're all holy. And so they decided they were going to be priests too. So Korah and those 250 men, they get their incense and they start offering up incense like priests do. And Moses said, let me tell you something. He fell on his face before God. He got up and said, You show up tomorrow with your incense burners before this tabernacle, and we'll see which priesthood God's vindicated. We'll see which one God's speaking to. And Moses started speaking to the people. He said, if these people die a natural death, then God has not spoken to me. In other words, if these men, if Korah and these men, if they die of natural causes, then you can hang a sign around my neck and drive me all over Palestine saying I'm a false prophet. And so before Moses even got done speaking, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and the 250 men up and took them down into hell. So I want to ask you, which captain are you following? We got captains that have raised up around this message that are willing to take you back to Egypt if you want to go back. If you want to go back to the world, there's a captain that'll take you back. You want to go back to slavery, there's someone that'll take you back now. We got captains. You can pick out which one you want to follow. You want to go back to charismatic and Pentecostalism, there's captains that've raised up that'll take you back. You want to go back to Baptist, Methodist, they'll take you back. Whatever you want. You want to say that Brother Branham had faults and he made mistakes and he missed it here and there, there's a captain that'll take you back. But those captains are leading souls to hell. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. I want to ask you, which captain are you following this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Which captain are you following? But even then, God said, Moses, you step aside. I'm going to destroy all of this people, and I'm going to start over with you. Moses, what did he do? He didn't say, all right, God, go ahead. You're right. This is a disobedient people. They're driving me crazy. Destroy them all, God. No, Moses threw himself out in there. And Brother Bram said that Moses had a better idea than God had. What was it? It was the Spirit of Christ in Moses that said, yes, God, they're a disobedient people. Yes, they frustrate me. Yes, they do spite to the Spirit of grace. Yes, they abuse your grace. But God, before you kill them, you got to kill me. Moses stood in the gap for a sinful and disobedient people and said, God, lay your wrath be on me before you pour it out on this people. And isn't that exactly what Christ did for us? He stood in the gap between God and man. He stood out and died for a sinful and rebellious people that would not keep their covenant, that would not keep their promises they made to God, that would sin against God, that would break His commandment. And whenever they chose law over grace and they got those Ten Commandments, they were written by the finger of God in tablets of stone. Now back in those days, they oftentimes wrote things on beaver skins. They could write a scroll on a beaver skin. They could fold it up. They could roll it up. They could bend it. They could pack it away, but not stone. He wrote it in stone, not on beaver skins. Because they said, you're either going to keep my law or you're going to break my law. But you're not going to bend my law. You're not going to twist my law. You're not going to make my law fit your ideas or fit your beliefs or fit your standards. You're either going to keep my law or you're going to break my law. And let me tell you, if you're guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. If you've broken one law, you broke them all, amen, and you're guilty before God until you come between in that mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, standing in the gap. Moses standing in the gap. In 1963, the prophet God preached, standing in the gap. Standing in the gap for us. And so then God speaks to Moses. He says, get a rod from every one of the children, every house of Israel, every family of Israel. Get a rod and lay it. 12 rods. Lay them before the tabernacle. Lay them in the holy place before the mercy seat. And make sure that on the house of Levi, you take Aaron's rod. Put every man's name on his rod. And make sure Aaron's rod's in there. Put Aaron's name on the rod for the house of Levi. And lay them before the tabernacle overnight. And overnight, those 12 rods lay there. Lifeless walking sticks. Lying there in the Shekinah presence overnight. The next morning, those 12 heads of the families came out to get their rods. One by one, Moses handed out the rods. Reuben, he brought in a dead stick. He got a dead stick. Simeon, got a dead stick, got a dead stick. Asher, got a dead stick back. But when they pulled out Aaron's rod, it bloomed. It had blooms on it. It budded. It had blossoms on it. It had almonds on it. That stick, Aaron may not have even known where that stick came from, but it came from an almond tree. Because now after it's laid in the presence of the Shekinah glory, it's brought forth the life that was hidden in that stick, and it showed exactly what kind of life was in it. It showed it came from an almond tree. Amen. It had blossoms on it. It had fruit. It had evidence. It had, you could pick an almond and you could eat that almond. It had evidence over the life that was in it. I'm going to tell you, when we come in this tabernacle, we're in the Shekinah presence of God. We're laying in that glory. And there's some people, they come in, they come out the same because there's no life in them. But there's a predestinated seed of God in you. If there's any life of God in you, you can lay before this tabernacle. You can lay in the presence of God, and you'll start to change. You'll start to bloom. You'll start to blossom. You'll start bearing fruit. The life that is in you will be manifested when you're laying in the presence of God. So I'm telling you, whenever you are listening under the preaching of the Word of God, it's going to show what kind of life is in you. Hallelujah. Moses died. Amen. And I'm going to have to hurry. Amen. But you only got one service, so I can preach for two, right? We're not coming back Sunday. How many would say I'd give you 5 more minutes? Raise your hand if I could give me 5 more minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. I got plenty of time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Joshua raised up when Moses died. And so the Lord comes and speaks to Joshua and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now I'm raising you up. Amen. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you, Joshua. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Amen. But you do exactly what the law of Moses said for you to do. And Joshua said only what Moses said. He only said what was said in the book of the law of Moses. So now Joshua's raised up. Moses brought them to the land, but Joshua took them into the land. And Moses, our Moses has been took off the scene, but now we're following our Joshua, the Holy Ghost, and he's the one that's taking us over into the land. Amen. Our prophet brought us to it. Now the Holy Ghost has took over. He's bringing us into it and dividing up the inheritance. Amen. And so while Joshua's standing there, and they cross over the Jordan, and guess what? The waters parted for them just like it did for Moses at the Red Sea. What happened for Moses happened for Joshua. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. They cross over there, and they're in the plains of Jericho. The first city they have to come to is that great walled city, Jericho. They got to tear that thing down. And so he's standing there looking out, and he's looking at that city, Jericho, and he sees a man standing out there with a sword in his hand. And Joshua was a great military man, a great warrior. So General Joshua, what's he do? He sees that man standing out there with a sword. He pulls out his sword, and he takes off running up to this man. He says, are you for us or for our enemies? What that man say? He said, no, neither, for I'm the host of the captain of the host of the Lord. He said, I'm the unseen captain of the host of the Lord, and I've come to talk with you, Joshua. Joshua threw down his sword, took his helmet off, got down and said, what does my Lord say unto his servant? Amen. He said, take off your shoes, Joshua. for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And he started giving him a battle plan of how he was going to take over. What was it? Who was that unseen captain, Sister Shirley? Who was that captain of the hosts of the Lord? It was the pillar of fire. Brother Bram said the pillar of fire became a man. And Joshua recognized that that angel that led them in that cloud by day and that fire by night, this was that angel. That was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself being manifested in a body, speaking to Joshua. It was a heavenly angel speaking to an earthly angel to lead him in the way and to guide him and to lead the children of God. Amen. The unseen captain. I'm here to tell you that unseen captain is with us today. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Amen. I'll be right there with you. I'm going to tell you, why do you keep going? Because there's an unseen captain living in you. Why won't you give up? There's an unseen captain in you. How come you fall, but you get back up? There's an unseen captain living in you. Why is it that when the doctor gives you a bad report and says there's nothing we can do, you're always going to be in this condition? You cannot be well. Yet something down inside of you says, I will be well anyway. There's an unseen captain that says, by my stripes you are healed. There is an unseen captain. That's the great physician. That's not practicing medicine. He's perfect. Amen. He can touch and heal the body. The same power that created the body. As I was with Moses, I want to tell you, just like Elisha said. Elisha said, where is the God of Elijah? Amen. Where is the God of Elijah this morning? Where is the God of Moses? Where is the God of William Branham? He's still with us today in the form of the Holy Ghost. Jesus went up. He sent back his spirit, the Holy Ghost. The pillar of fire came down in Acts chapter 2. It divided itself and it dwelt upon every believer. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the God of Moses, the God of Elijah, the God of William Branham, he's still with us today. He's still leading the bride. That great pillar of fire is leading this bride all the way into a rapture, all the way into a millennium, all the way into glory. The unseen captain, amen. That unseen captain lives in us. He won't let us give up. He won't let us quit it. He tells us, keep on going. He tells us, press the battle. He says, you keep on. Amen, Sister Brenda. He says, I am with you whithersoever thou goest. Be strong. Be encouraged. For the Lord, thy God, is with thee wherever you go. Hallelujah. Whenever they got to that city, Jericho, amen, that city, Jericho, that great walled city, amen, they sent in a couple spies in there to spy out in Jericho. They slipped in there. And they came back with a report to Joshua. And they said, Joshua, the whole city's talking about you. They hear that just as God was with Moses, God's with you. And as we would say nowadays, maybe, they're shaking in their boots. They're terrified. But Joshua, in the token message, the messengers returned back and said, I have obeyed your orders. And there was a woman we found when we played the tapes, you know. We found a woman that believed. And we told her all that would come under that red sign back there, the token, it would mean. Now I have preached that. Will you honor it, Joshua? Joshua said, I have sent you to do it. Amen. And guess what? They found a woman named Rahab, a harlot, a street woman, a prostitute. But yet she received the spies with peace. Hey, man, they brought in a tape. We don't know how it got in there, but it slipped in there somehow because it's going to reach every predestinated seed. Jesus said, all the Father hath given me will come to me, and I will lose nothing. Amen. He knows how to find his own. It would be a shame for the shepherd to lose even one sheep. He said, I'm not going to lose a single one. Somehow it slipped in there. And she heard the tape. And she believed it. And he sent the token message. He said, that's right. Harlot Rahab. Because she believed the messenger, she applied the token. And her house was saved. Amen. I'm going to tell you, hear the messenger. You can apply the token. It won't just save you. It can save your whole household when you put them under the token. Amen. This woman, Rahab, she was a woman that maybe people would say had a bad past. She didn't have a very honorable occupation. She would be considered a woman that's really messed up her life. But yet she believed the messenger. And she applied the token. And she saved all of her father's house by her belief. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter about the mistakes you made in the life that you lived and how the devil used you back there. It don't matter. You believe the messenger. You apply the token. You claim the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's all forgiven. It doesn't matter. It's under the shed blood. Amen. He's put that life in you. Amen. The life of that blood. And guess what? You hold it not just for yourself. You hold it over your family. And so we talk about generational blessings and generational curses. And those things are true. For whenever he gave the Ten Commandments, he said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." He said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children. And to as many as the Lord our God shall call." I'm going to tell you, I'm claiming my children are the token. Amen. It don't matter how long it takes. Amen. Satan cannot have them. They're God's property. God gave them to me. I give them back over to God. I hold the token over my home. I hold the token over my husband, my wife. I hold the token over my children. They are saved and sealed under the token by my faith because I believe the messenger. Amen. And instead of curses, you can break those generational curses. Your grandfather might have been a bad man. Your father might have been an alcoholic. Your mother might have been a whore, maybe. It doesn't matter. You can choose to break those generational curses and say, "They're not coming on me, and they're not coming on my family. It stops right here. My children will not suffer because of the sins of my parents. I'm breaking those generational curses in the name of Jesus Christ. And instead, I'm taking this curse, and I'm choosing generations of blessings to follow me." This harlot Rahab, a woman that had messed up her life, it seemed like, a woman that did not have a good past, she chose generational blessings because she got to dwell. She was the only one. Her and her father's house were the only ones in Jericho saved, and they got to live with Israel all the days of her life. She traveled, a Gentile woman, got to live with Israel, and she married a famous military man in Israel named Salmon. And Salmon and Rahab begat a son named Boaz. And Boaz also married a Gentile girl named Ruth. Boaz didn't think much about it. You know, oh, an Israelite marrying a Gentile. He didn't think much about it because his mother was a Gentile. Maybe when he saw Ruth, it reminded him of his mother. So he marries a Gentile girl named Ruth. And they begat a son named Obed, who begat Jesse, who begat King David, who all the way down the lineage come Christ from Rahab the harlot. All the way from a harlot came generations of blessings from Ruth, from Obed, from Jesse to David, all the way to the King, Lord Jesus Christ, our chief captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Joshua means Jehovah Savior. It's the same name as Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about that, you know, in the millennium, he's going to put all things under his feet. All things will be under subjection to him. But right now, we don't see all things put under him yet. But we see Jesus. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with the glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him from whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Our Jesus Christ is our great chief captain. He learned obedience to the things that he suffered so he could be the right kind of mediator for you and I. So he could be the right kind of captain to lead us.
And when Jesus, he came, he said, I don't even come in my own name. I've come in my Father's name, and yet you don't receive me. He said, I come to declare unto you the name of my Father. What name did he come in? So what's the name of the Father? He said, I've come in my Father's name. And he said, I have not even come speaking of myself, but have only spake what the Father has shown me. He said, but I go away and I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes, he'll not speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. For the Holy Ghost will bring all things that I've said unto you into your remembrance. He will lead you in all truth. He will teach you all things. He said, lo, I'm with you right now. A little way I go away, but I shall be with you. I shall be with, even in you, even unto the end. He went away and he sent himself in the form of the Holy Ghost to lead us, to guide us, to direct us in all truth in all ways. And when Jesus was being baptized in the River Jordan by the John the Baptist, when he came up out of the water, John saw the Holy Ghost coming down as a dove and lit upon Jesus. The Holy Ghost came in the form of a dove. And John said, I didn't even recognize who he was. But the voice that spoke to me in the wilderness and told me to baptize, the same voice spoke to me and said, the man that you see the Spirit of God descending upon and remaining on him, this is he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said, and I bear record that this is the Son of God. Let me tell you, Jesus, the Son, when he identified himself, as a lamb. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The lamb is the most innocent, most clean of all animals on the earth. A lamb has nothing to defend itself with. It don't have sharp teeth. It don't have poison. It don't have great strength. It's totally defenseless. It's totally helpless. A lamb. And the Son identified himself as a lamb. But when the Father identified him, he identified him as a dove, which is the cleanest and purest of all animals of the air. So the lamb came to the dove. Now the dove came to the lamb. And the dove led the lamb. The lamb followed the dove. Why? Because their two natures could identify with each other. That dove could not have landed on a lion even. Its natures don't match. It could not have landed upon a coyote or a wolf. The nature of that dove, just the slightest sound, that dove flies away. It's bashful. It's a bashful animal. And so I want to ask you, would your nature line up with the nature of a dove? Is the Holy Ghost, that dove, is that your captain tonight? I want to ask you, which captain are you following? That lamb was led by the dove. Are you being led by the dove? Could the Holy Ghost light upon you and remain on you as it did Jesus? Does your nature line up with that? You know, a lot of times, you know, in the message, we have used eagles for a long time. God uses eagles. Eagles are important in the scripture. But you know, the eagle is a bird of war. It's got the beak that it rips and tears. It's got the talons. But what about that dove? That sweet, humble, quiet nature of the Holy Ghost. Could it lead you this morning? Would you stand with me this morning? That Holy Ghost is that captain that we're following that's leading us. And this morning, God is inviting you to mold your character into his own character. Naturally speaking, in my flesh, because of my natural birth, my natural lineage, I had a hot-tempered grandfather, a hot-tempered father. And guess what, Brother Pat? I was hot-tempered too. I was. He doesn't believe that. I was always quiet and reserved, but it didn't take much to flare up my temper. I could fight a buzzsaw. And whenever I got into religion, I was a religious sinner. And that's the worst kind of sinners of all, is a religious sinner. And let me tell you, if you didn't agree with my theology, I could tear into you. I could take what scriptures I thought I knew, and I could blast it. If it moved, I'd blast it. Amen. I still got some of that today, but thank God it's with a different spirit. Amen. Because we do need preachers with holy boldness, amen, that aren't afraid to say and tell you the truth. But what happened, God had to humble me. He had to change my nature because his spirit could not agree with my spirit. So he had to give me a new spirit. He had to give me a new spirit because I couldn't even agree with myself. But he had to give me a new spirit so that he could put his spirit in me. So I want to ask you this morning to search your hearts. If you would just bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning. Could that Holy Ghost, that dove, that Spirit of God, could it land upon you? Could its nature blend with your nature? Are you being led by the Holy Ghost this morning? Which captain are you following? He'll lead you in all truth. Just the slightest noise, that dove flies away. You let a little worldliness creep in, that dove just flies off. Its nature can't agree with it. That dove is unlike any other bird. Robins, cardinals, blue jays, they all have to take baths. They'll find water and they'll clean themselves in the water. But not a dove. A dove has an oil that it produces that cleans its feathers from the oil. That Holy Ghost, if it's dwelling in you, it's going to produce something that's going to clean you and keep you clean. That Holy Ghost, if it dwells in you, it's going to produce an oil of anointing that will just keep you clean. That dove, it can't eat rotten things, death, meat. It only eats pure, clean foods. What are you feeding on this morning? Are you feeding on the trash and entertainments and filth of this world? Are you enjoying those things? That's not the nature of the Holy Spirit. What are you feeding on? He'll tell what kind of nature's in you this morning. But if you can only feed on the pure Word of God, we have to esteem the Word of God above our necessary needs. I'm going to tell you that Holy Spirit will lead us in all truth. And let me tell you, when you're talking to your friends and relatives and relations and people, you think, well, they're good people. Well, they might be in the way people go. But if they won't receive this last day messenger, they wouldn't receive Paul either. He preached the same thing that Paul preached. We're resting on that. He brought back evidence that it's a good land. And this Holy Ghost is leading us in everything that he said. That's the captain I want to follow. Are you following that captain this morning? I want to encourage you. Pray with me this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity I've had this morning to stand behind this sacred desk where this pastor stands, Lord. I pray for Brother Joseph Hammond, God, that you would bless him, Lord. Strengthen and touch his body, Father. The shepherd of this house, if he leads the congregation, Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen him, Lord. Lead him and give him a fresh anointing, Father, a fresh revelation, inspiration of your word, Father, this message, God. Keep him in the right way, Lord, as he leads this congregation. Lord, anoint the ears of these hearers that they could hear and receive the word of God. Lord, I pray that you would take my mixed up way of preaching this morning, that somehow you'd put it together and let it make sense to the people. I pray, Father, that you would just give out that invitation, Lord, as you have through your word, that you're inviting us to mold and shape in our character into your own character. God, I pray this congregation would do it with me. As we come before your presence, Father, would you mold us and shape us, Father? We could leave here changed by the power of your word, the power of transformation. Oh, God, I thank you for it. Love you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you as they sing this morning.
Oh, we have a heavenly Father. Consider the lilies. a story, for he is the King. Began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take them in bondage again. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses cried, oh,
today and forever. What's the walls of Jericho to God? What's the temptation you have to God? What's the inspiration that just keeps you from moving on? What's it to God? He's looking for you to say, I believe it's the same God of yesterday. It's the same God in the history. He's now living in me. He's now living in the bride. Oh, come on, church. It don't take great spiritual eyes to see God's dealing with the bride. He deals with him through the pastor. He deals with him through the local ministry. He brings Brother Canaan from another church. He don't study our sermons, but he studies the Word of God. And the Word of God directs him right to the souls of the bride. And we're sitting here and God's speaking to you. He's saying, you know, it wasn't good enough your pastor said it. It wasn't good enough Brother Jonathan, Brother George, Brother Ben said it. Let me bring an evangelist in and he'll say it too. And he'll confirm my word is still the same today. Amen. Let's sing another song. Amen. Sing another song before we're dismissed. Brother Amos texted me, and I missed it before service. Brother Amos, Sister Patience, wish they could be here. They had car trouble this morning. The car wouldn't run. They've live streamed us. God bless y'all online. God bless them. Let's pray for them that they can find a fix for their car. Amen. As we sing again, we'll dismiss the online audience. Wednesday at 7, we'll be back. Let's just worship him again, Brother Mark.
Amen. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.